holding an numeralis-recognition.
Says, called get shiyash of aid kursi, any get, meaning any star, as we said before, the word get has a more generic meaning, it means star, so any star that has an aid kursi signed on it, the kursim, we know, are the people who were imported into Eretz Yisrael by Sancheira, back to the Shvatim, or taken into Galus, as we talked about yesterday, and as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, they only accepted certain parts of the Torah throughout the whole Second Mikdash, and for some time after it, there was a machlokus, whether they're geiri arayas, are they insincere geirim, because the pasuk says they only became geirim to begin with because lions were attacking them, or is it that they became, maybe then, maybe later on, geiri emes, true geirim. Eventually, in the times of Reb Meir, they found that they were worshiping Abed Azara, and then they declared them goyim gmurim. Although it's interesting, actually, even when it says they declared them goyim gmurim, and Shulchan Aruch talks about, they only did that with chumra, not necessarily with kola. For example, when Shulchan Aruch talks about, if a kursi is mekadish, a Jewish woman, she needs to get misafik. Because maybe they're still considered Jews. Chachamim has the ability to tell us we're not allowed to eat their bread, as we'll talk about the Gemara, we're not allowed to drink their wine, we're not allowed to whatever, for most, but we can't count them for a minion, etc. But they didn't have the ability to say l'chumra, to say l'kula, that we count them as
they knew that one kursi was really not practicing a very desire.
Doesn't matter, because if their ancestors became Jews, then in principle, it goes down in the female line throughout all the generations, so yeah. The Shach Taka disagrees with that. The Shach wants to say that, in fact, we do say it even Makula, but then in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says not like that. Anyway, so in this case, if you have a shtar that has a kursi signed on it as an aid, posel. So that shtar is posel. Rashi says because we're choshed, we suspect these kursim of testifying falsely. Well, the suffix is not whether they're a Jew or a guy. We're talking about even in the time when, even according to the opinion that they're Jews, even during the time of the Second Beit Mikdash, according to the opinion that they're Geir Emes, nevertheless we're choshed that they could testify falsely, and therefore we can't accept their testimony on a shtar. And Chassam Sofer says, actually, it's not literally that they would, not that they would deliberately lie. The Gemara is going to say that they do follow things that it says in Torah Shabbosav, because they have more or less the same Torah Shabbosav as we do, with some minor variations, and it has the Dibra in it, Loisana Bereacha Eid Shaker. But what it is they don't hold of all, or they don't know of, or they don't hold of all the details of evidence that are in halacha. We know, for example, that it's possible to give edus based on hearsay, that I heard this from somebody else. They don't necessarily know of that, so they might well give testimony that yes, that's not from deraisa that they you know, but it doesn't explicitly say in the Torah in so many words.
How do we know that?
We learn it from Sukkim. When we get to the din of Eidos and Shavuos and in other places, we'll talk about it. But the point is, there is such a din that Eid Mipi Eid is no good. They don't necessarily hold that. Similarly, there's other details of the din of Eidos that they don't accept or they don't know or they don't do or whatever.
Okay.
And that's why we'd be puzzled. That's why not a get. Again, remember, we mean a star. Except for gittim of women and documents of freeing slaves for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. It happened once that they brought in front of Rav Gamliel in Kfar Usnai, it's the name of a place, they brought him Get Isha. The Hoyu Aid of Aid Kosim, and the Aidim on this Get Isha were Kosim, the Hitcher. What do you mean? How do they know? They knew. They were able to tell him this Get was assigned by Kosim. We'll talk about in the Gemara whether we mean one Kosi or two. The Hitcher, and he said that it's kosher. So on the face of it, that story seems to be supporting what we said, that by a get isha, you can have aid kosim. We'll get in the Gemara into the details. The Gemara starts off, Mani Masnissin, who is our mission of life that we're saying that, again, we're saying that aid kosim are possible by most shtaros, but they're kosher when it comes to gittin and shechura avadim. Which Tana would that go according to? It seems to not go according to any of the three Tanoim in the following Braisa. The Tanya, matzas kursi, matzah that was made by a kursi. Muteras, you're allowed to eat it. It's not we don't have to be concerned that it became chometz because they know the din of they know
if they were bali avodah zarah, we think they could.
Again, we're talking before the time when they found them worshipping this dove on Hagrizim. We're talking before that time. From when Sancheirav imported them into Eretz Yisrael, and the Pasuk says originally they were worshipping idols, but then when lions started attacking them, they sent a message to Sancheirav saying, evidently we're offending the god of the land. The Goyim in those days had the idea that every land has its own god, so when we're in the land of the Jewish god, we need to be following his laws. So they learned, he sent them a Kohen, they learned, And now the pasuk says they continued to worship the Rabbi Dezaras as well as they, the Abdul, they were serving Hashem, which would still make them over Rabbi Dezaras. But the Gemara brings up the possibility. We learned it in Yevamos, we learned it in other places, that they may have become Geirei Emes. They may have become true Geirei. We're going according to that. If we say that they're true Geirei, then you're allowed to eat. So if they have dough that was made as matzah, you're allowed to eat that on Pesach. You don't have to worry that it might be chametz because they know the dinim of matzah and chametz. But Adam yotzeh after Pesach, and not only that, a person can be yotzeh with the mitzvah of eating matzah, because when it comes to eating matzah on Pesach, it's not just good enough that it didn't become chametz. It has to be matzah shmurah. It has to be watched. It has to be guarded for the sake of the mitzvah. We know the famous thing that it's
easy shmal.
No, well, the baking has to be right. So the baking has to be done the shmal. But wait, that's the thing. It has to be shimur l'shem chayvus matzah. It has to be that it's washed for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, from when it was harvested, or at least from when it was needed. You have the different standards of matzah. Now here, the kusim know that it has to be washed, that it has to be l'shma. They do that. Because the pasuk says, "Shmartem as a matzah," you should guard the matzah. They know that to be the case. So therefore we can do that. Rabbi Loza oyser. Rabbi Loza says that it's oser. You can't eat it during Pesach. Lefisha and Bikin, because they're not knowledgeable in the details of the mitzvahs. So there are Mepharshim who want it. Rashi over here says that when he says oyster, it means he actually asks and he considers that it may be chometz. There are Mepharshim who want to learn that Rabbi Lazar is not saying it's oster to eat during Pesach, just say he can't be yod to the mitzvah of master with it. Yes, maybe it's not chometz, but it wasn't done l'shma yud.
There's two interpretations
within Rabbi Lazar, right. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kol mitzvah shechzuka b'kusim, any mitzvah that the kusim held on to, that they follow, harbim daktikin ba yosim Yisrael. They are even more particular with the details of it than regular Jews are. Which means, therefore, in other words, that in the case of matzah, then if they hold of the concept of matzah, which they do, because it's in Torah Shemachav, then they're going to be extra careful with it. So therefore, on the face of it, he seems to be saying the same thing as the Tanna Kamma. Therefore, that you can eat it for Pesach. Rashi says that Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually coming to add something else. Even if you have, what if you have? Here we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa. What if you have a mitzvah that's purely d'rabbanan, but for whatever reason the kusim glommed onto it and started keeping it? They will be extremely careful with that, even though it only started out as the Rabbanan. And therefore, so in other words, so we're not just talking dinim. So we have three different opinions in the Braita. We have the Tanna Kamma saying that they're careful in any mitzvah d'oraisa, such as chometz and such as matzah. Rabbi Lazar is saying they're not, and therefore you can't trust them at all. And according to Rashi, you can't even eat it on Pesach, because it would be chometz. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not only in d'oraisas, but even in the Rabbanan.
It seems hard to understand the fact that it's so opposite opinions about who they are.
Okay. But, I mean, the same way as you have the original Machlokes, whether they're Geirei Arayas or Geirei Emes, or they're in Sincere or Geirei Emes. Okay.
But to the point where we say, on one hand, they don't respect, on the other hand, they
reject. You know, the Rebbe Lazar is not saying they don't respect. He's saying, you can't deduce it, but they don't know all the particulars. They don't know, for example, that it takes 18 minutes for dough to become chametz, let's say, whatever. They know the generality, that there's such a thing as chametz, but they don't necessarily know all the specifics. Tosfos, by the way, points out that there is actually, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer mentions that the Chachamim made a gzera that you're not allowed to eat bread of kusim. That was a general thing, you're not allowed to eat bread of goyim in general, but that's mishum chachnas, because we're afraid you may intermarry with them. And therefore you have that, in principle, that only applies to bread baked by a private person, bread that was baked by a commercial goyish baker, according to that, would be able to be eaten, and there are people, and in general, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, if there's no Jewish baker available within a reasonable distance, then you are allowed to eat pas palter. And there's an opinion in Shulchan Aruch that says even if there's no bread to be found and locally, except for pas nachrim, except for bread baked privately by goyim, then you're still allowed to eat it.
Can you use red flour that's without a hefshel that says, just gorgeous flour.
Ordinary flour has a hefshel.
No, I know it has a hefshel.
Okay.
But let's say there's no flour with a hefshel. Can you use this flour without
a
hefshel and bake, bread or whatever it is?
I don't know. I'm not sure flour is one of those things that can be used without a hefshel. Practically speaking, it boils down to the question, is there likely to be any characters in it? I mean, flour is usually 100% flour. There's nothing else mixed in. But I don't know. Anyway. And that's really a question for an agency like the OU or the OK or what have you. It's not, you know, it's not something that's based It's not something where you need to know the principles in halakha. It's something where you need to know the practicalities. Is flour likely to have anything else mixed into it, or to be prepared, or to be manufactured on equipment that's used for chayfah stuff or whatever? All right. Anyway, so there is the general issue of pas achum, but there are exceptions to it. Pas palter, according to the one opinion, Shulchan Aruch, even pas of a private person, even if there's nothing else available. But then there's a separate din. The separate zedas they made on the bread of kusim. The reason is, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, because since the kusim tried to prevent the building of the second Beis Hamikdash and actually did prevent it for some years, the pasuk describes in Sefer Ezra, the Jewish people have come to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash after Kodesh's proclamation. The kusim at first pretended that they want to help with it. When the Jewish people rebuffed them and told them, sorry, you don't belong over here, this is for us Jews only, then from then on, the Kusim started harassing them, and eventually they wrote a slanderous letter to Koresh, or Achashverosh, or Achashach, whoever it is, telling him that it's not just the rebuilding of the Smithers, the Jewish people are going to rebel against you, etc., and the work was stopped for many years. The work was stopped for 18 years until they were able to restart it again. So because of that, the Chachamim made a gzera against eating their bread. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer points out that Zera, according to what Tosfos is saying over here, it comes out that Zera is even stronger than the one on regular Goyish bread. Regular Goyish bread, you have the exceptions. Bread of Kusim, apparently there's no exceptions. So how is our Gemara say, and by the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it says very picturesquely, that it's not just they made this Zera against eating their bread, they had hundreds of people with shofaris, and they declared an absolute eternal chayrim against the Kusim. Anyway, so how is our Gemara saying that you could, according to the Chachamim and according to the Bishem Gamliel, you can eat matzah kusi? So Tosfos explains what we're talking about is you have dough that was prepared that was needed by a Jew, and then a kusi takes it and makes matzah from it. So you don't have the issue of pas kusi would only be if he did it from beginning to end.
And that would be us.
But that's what we're saying. The Chachamim would say it's mutter because they're careful to keep it kosher l'Pesach. They're careful to keep his matzah, and they're careful to do it l'shem matzah's mitzvah. According to the laws, they're not, and according to the Shem Gamil, yes. Then Tosfos points out another detail also. The Gemara mentions in Chulin, there's a sugya at the beginning of Chulin about this whole business of kusim and what mitzvahs they do and don't keep. One thing the Gemara mentions over there is kusim do not hold of the concept of lifnei ivelis yitin michshol. It's a positive, but they understand in the literal sense that if you have a blind person walking along, don't put a stumbling block in front of them. They don't understand it in the metaphorical sense that we understand it, halacha, that it means, among other things, don't give a person bad advice, and it includes also don't be machshel a person in an avera. They don't hold of that, so why can we eat their matzah? Who says? They're not careful about that. Maybe they're saying, they're making this matzah, fine, we're not eating from it. We don't care if you eat from it and end up doing an avera because we don't care about that. So Tosfos answers, we have to be talking about a case that, suppose the kusi has no other matzah. Necessarily, he's going to be using some of this matzah for his seder. Therefore, we can take some of that matzah and eat it ourselves and use it for our seder, because we know he's not going to use chametz to matzah or non-lishma matzah by his own seder.
For all practical purposes, he can't say he doesn't eat anything.
Except in that situation. Yes. So that's the situation then when we're saying that when we're talking about matzah kosi.
That's the halacha.
Well, that's what Tosfos is saying. I mean, nowadays that the kosi are considered going gemurim. Anyway, that's kind of a moot point. But yeah, actually, the truth is that Rambam says that these same dinim that apply to kosim in our Gemara, that Rambam says these same dinim apply to tzedukim, meaning the karoyim of his times, for the same reason. They only accept teresh shabachsav and not teresh shabalpeh. So now the question becomes, Mani, so who is our Mishnah like among those three Tanoim of that Braisa? E Tanakama, if our Mishnah goes according to the Tanakama, Afilu Shtar Shtaris Nami, then Kusi's signature should be okay in any Shtar. Because Lechura, we say, just like we say we're not choshed them by Matzah, that they do it Chomet, the same way by the Shtaris, we shouldn't suspect that they're signing falsely. The Rebbe Lazar, you shouldn't even accept their signatures on a Get Isha because he says you can't trust them at all. The Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, and if it's pointed up Shimon Gamliel, we have to consider what is the story with these other shtaris. If the concept that are in the other shtaris, IOUs and deeds and so forth, if this is something that they accept, if this is a mitzvah that they have accepted and they follow, Well then, after the get, so if they also hold of the concept of a get, after the get ishanami, then you should accept those signatures. After the shar shtaris nami, then even other shtaris should be acceptable with those signatures, because that's the logic he's saying. The idoloi achsuk, and if they don't hold by these dinim, by the proper dinim of shtaris, after the get ishanami, then you shouldn't even accept those signatures. Yes, one or the other. So when our Mishnah says everything is no good except for gita nashim shikur avadim, which of these opinions is the following? Turns this, by the way, just into a bit of discussion over here that may be a coincidence of Shimon Gamliel. We can talk about the two different things you can talk about with various mitzvahs, whether it's written in the Torah and whether it's asked, whether they held on to this mitzvah. So we can talk, Tosfos just goes into the possibilities that we're talking about. It could be one or the other, or does it have to be both, or whatever. Anyway.
Asuk means
that they held on to this as a mitzvah, as something that they practice. The chit came out of Shimon Gamliel. So you might say, okay, our Mishnah is going according to Shimon Gamliel. Who the asuk b'ha, v'loy the asuk b'ha. V'loy asuk b'ha, fine. You could say very simple. That the kusay of according to Shimon Gamliel held on to the dinim of Get Isha and Shifra Avodim. They hold of those dinim. Get Isha, it says in the Pasuk. Shifra Avodim, we learned by the Zeta Shava that we said yesterday, Loch, and maybe they accept that Zeta Shava. Maybe they don't accept the validity of other kinds of shtaris. Well, not so obvious. It's not so obvious, for example. I mean, we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about there's two different kinds of shtaris. There's shtaris that are for a raya, where the transaction happens with or without the shtar, and the shtar is just needed for proof that the transaction happened. And then you have shtaris which actually create, which actually institute the thing happening. Gedisha is an example of that, but there's other examples also. A shtar matana, like we'll talk about on Amud Beis, is another example of that. So we could be talking about all those things that they've accepted as part of their culture, or maybe not. You know, you might have they might hold that for all these things you need provable witnesses. Or
you could say they hold the one and not the other.
That's the question. Ihachi, but if that's the case, my yichad. Then why is the Mishnah mentioning that a get is only kosher with one eight kusi? Because when the Mishnah started off, called get sheyashal of eight kusi possible, chutz mi gita nashim shekhar avadim, eight is singular. Implies, but if you have two eight kusim on the get, or the get isha or the shekhar, then it would be possible. Why?
It could be generic.
We're not assuming that it is. Especially because the end of the Mishnah says eight kusim in the plural.
Didn't you say that we had a discussion about the word eight?
That was in the Torah. Loshen Torah l'chod v'loshen chachamim l'chod. In the Torah, the word eight usually means eight yurts. It usually means eight yurts. What constitutes valid eight yurts.
In two eight,
in most cases. In the Mishnah, we wouldn't necessarily say that. So what would be the difference? My yichad after the tshrei nami. Even if two eidei kusim are on it, should be kosher according to that logic, if they've accepted the dinim of gittin. Alama amar Rabbi Lazar. So why did Rabbi Lazar, and this is Rabbi Lazar the Amora, we have to distinguish. There's Rabbi Lazar the Tana, whose opinion we mentioned before in the Braisa, and then we have Rabbi Lazar the Amora. That he says, loy hichshiru boy ela eid echad kusi bovan. That even by a get or a get shichru, it's only kosher according to our Mishnah if there's one eid kusi on it, not two.
Not kosher, there's two eidei.
If there's two eidei kusim, at least one of them has to be a Jew. So then what would be the difference? Why would we distinguish? Why would we say that with any other shtar you need two Jewish eidim? With a get isha, it's good enough if you have one Jewish and one kusi. But if you have two kusim, then what would be the logic to make those differentiations? The answer is lower than Rabbi Lazar. We could say, no, let's say after all that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Lazar, who had said in the Braita that when it comes to Masa, we do not accept it, and we don't allow you to eat it on Pesach, and we don't allow you to use it for Masa's Mitzvah. But the difference is, we're going to chosim Yisrael of a Seif. The difference is that you have the case of the get, or the get shikur over here, you're talking about that you have the kusi is signed first as the first aid, and the Jew is signed as the second aid.
Okay.
Now, how does that help? Well, there's two aidim, right? One has to sign first, one has to sign second.
Yes.
But how does that help? Because if it weren't, we have to say, therefore, the fact that a Jew signed after a kusi implies that this kusi is a chaver. Meaning, in general, in shas, we usually use the word chaver to mean, usually in shas, we use the word chaver to mean a tamar chacham. So over here, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. A kusi who is, we're saying that an ordinary kusi might be suspected of of writing falsely on a document, or otherwise not even writing falsely, but when several other in general of not being careful with halachos, a kusi chaver is going to be careful with whatever they hold of. If they hold of gittin, then if they hold of gittin, then fine.
They will tell the yid what they hold.
No, well, yeah, the yid himself is not going to sign unless he knows that the kusi who signed before him is somebody who knows the gittin of gittin and who signed validly, who didn't sign falsely or whatever. Okay, well, then the question is, yoch after the shtar shtaris nami.
Right.
Well, then in that case, shouldn't the same thing apply to other shtaris as well? Same logic. If you have one kusi aid and then after him one Jewish aid, what would be the problem? Before we get to that, by the way, Tosfos points out a question. We said before, we said at the beginning of the Masechta, when we started talking about kiyum shtaris, that you always have to have that a shtar is validated by two aiding. Effectively, what you have over here is if we're saying we're not going to accept this kusi's Eidus on the shtar without the Yisrael, the Eidus after him, it comes out that the whole shtar is dependent on the Yisrael. How is that possible? The Tosfos answer is because since Midaraisa, we're considering, again, our whole sugya is going according to the opinion that Midaraisa, they're considered Geri Emes, and it's only Midrabanan that we have a problem with their signatures, then fine. Since Midaraisa, their signature is just as valid as it is, then we'll accept this. We'll consider that at Midaraisa level, you have two valid witnesses over here. So anyway, so why don't we say this by other shtaris? Let's say it the same way, if Yisrael signs second. Ella, no, the reason why we can't say that by other shtaris, Amrinan Rav Choshovik Laman Bekoshish Mine, because we have to say that maybe, you know why the Yid, is not necessarily, when we see the signature is first the Kusi and then the Yid, doesn't necessarily mean that they actually signed in that order. Could be that the Yid left blank space, but he signed in the second spot. He left the space above him, Rav Sashavik, he left the space above him, Laman de Koshish Mine, to somebody who's older than him. So the Kursi is not necessarily a Chaver, but he's older than him, and therefore the Yid wants to give him respect and have him and have his signature be in first place. So the Yid moves to the second line and signs there. Doesn't mean necessarily, therefore, that he actually signed it only after the Kursi, and therefore that he can certify the fact that the Kursi is a Chaver. So Hachanami Rav Sashavik Laman de Koshish Mine. So why don't you say the same thing by a get? That it may mean that maybe the Yid signed first and he doesn't know whether the Kusi who signed after him is a Chaver or not. All he knows is that he left space in case the guy is older than him that he should sign first. Amar Papa, Zoyse Meres, well then in that case, since we're not saying that, since our Mishnah is distinguishing between a Get Isha and Get Shifra versus everything else, that means, Eide a Get en Chosman Zeveloizeh, that one comes to a Get, specifically, the Edim are not allowed to sign one not in the presence of the other. When it comes to other shtaris, we see from this, from the implication of our Mishnah, since we're having to say thus far that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Elazar, who ordinarily would say that we do not trust Kusim, and therefore when it comes to Matza, we won't trust them, but when it comes to another shtar, if there is an Eid Kusi on it, we don't know, we have no way of knowing whether that Kusi was a Chaver. Therefore, because he might have signed second, even though his signature is in first place, therefore we can't accept it. But if we're saying that it is kosher when it comes to a get, how could that be? It must be, because when it comes to a get, the Edom cannot sign one not in the other's presence. They have to both be there when they're signing. So therefore, when it comes to a regular shtar, since you don't have that rule, the Yisrael might have signed in second place and then left, and then the Eid Kursi comes and signs, and we don't know whether that Kursi is a Chaver or not. The Yid was not there to know that the other person who signed is a Chaver. But when it comes to a get, necessarily, it doesn't matter what order the signatures were actually done in. The point is, the Yisrael is going to be there when the Kursi signs. He's going to be able to tell us whether this Kursi is a Chaver, whether he's a Chaver or not. And he's not even going to sign in the first place. He's not even going to sign unless he knows the other guy who's signing with him is a Chaver.
But the fact that he might have left doesn't mean he doesn't know if the other guy's a Chaver or not. Probably does.
But there's not any way of knowing. No. He left. Anybody could have signed him at that point.
You're saying the fact that there's no evidence.
Right.
Possible
the whole thing. Yeah. So the Edom have to sign in each other's presence. My timer, Sataka, why? Why indeed, by a get, do you make them all sign? The reason is because we make it Zera because you can have a situation, we'll learn in a couple of months later in the Masechta, you can have a situation where somebody turns to 10 people and he tells them, I want all of you to write a get for my wife. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean all 10 of them are going to be sitting and writing a get, What it means is that he wants one of them to be writing the get, and he wants all of them to be signing it. He wants one of them to be writing, and all nine, and the other nine, or maybe even all ten, to be signing it. Even though a get normally needs two edim, here, because of his tonight, basically, all of them have to sign. Because effectively, what he's making is a tonight. He's saying, I won't consider it a valid get unless all ten of you are signed on it.
Why would he make it?
Whatever reason it is, there might be such a thing. And that's because he says kulchem. That's because he says all of you. So therefore, even if he doesn't say kulchem, we still want to have that all the edim should be together at the time of the signatures, because that way, regardless whether he says kulchem or not, we'll be covered. So the Ramban has a different explanation of it. He says the problem is not if he just says kulchem that all of you should write. Because fine, we're saying that all of them have to sign, but that's not beside the dinim of get, that's beside the dinim of tonight. He's saying that all of them have to sign. No, rather the case is that Amman says that what when we say over here kulchem, what we mean is what if he specifically says kulchem chasoimu, I want all of you to sign the get. Then that would be essential to the validity of the get that all of them sign. So that's what we're saying then.
That would render Kuchin of Rahapa. Because of that,
in all cases, regardless whether he said kulchem, or whether he said kulchem chasoimu, or whether he didn't say anything, regardless, we always say that whoever is going to be signing this get has to be there at the same time.
Why?
That's the point. Because that way, if he says kulchem, then we'll know that all of them. Then we'll know that all of them are going to be signing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Once we make a zeder in case such a thing happens. So that's one answer. That's the answer then. So far what we're saying is that the Mishnah goes, the first part of the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar is saying that as long as the kusi is a chaver, so when it comes to a get, as long as the kusi is a chaver, then we're good. Because if a yid is signed with it, then we know he had to have signed it in the presence of the kusi, and that he can vouch for who that kusi is, because that's how it is with a get. With any other shtar, it's not like that. Interesting, the Rambam, when he talks about this, the Rambam just mentions the fact that the Rambam mentions the kusi, that the kusi has to be a chaver. He doesn't say anything about whether he signed first or second. So Mefarshim asks, why not? Based on this, it sounds like that makes a difference. Why the Rambam doesn't mention the detail about the kusi being signed first or second? So there's a couple of different explanations, but one interesting one, the Pitzcha Tshuva says that actually when the Rambam wrote the word kusi chaver, but he put it two